is a preacher from Scotland a long time ago. He died as a young man. He was 26 years old when he died. His name was Robert McShane, was his name. And Robert McShane published a poem. You know, oftentimes a lot of these hymns that we sing were first published as poems and people put sheet music to them. And it's oftentimes sung as When This Life Is Past. I can't remember the name of the song they sing, but the poem's name is I Am a Debtor. And part of that poem reads, he says, when I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty, not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. When we sing, Jesus paid it all, I want you to realize tonight, He paid it all.
Amen.
We're here for Jesus tonight. Amen. We're here for God tonight. That's why we get together on the Lord's Day, on Sunday. It is all because of Him. We owe everything to Him.
Amen.
I love the Lord tonight. I just wanted to share that with you. Take your Bibles and go with me to Hebrews chapter number 11. We'll be back in Hebrews chapter 11 tonight, as we have been the past few Sunday nights. And the more I read this chapter, this was originally supposed to be like 7 messages, and it's turned into about 12 or 13. But I'm not complaining. Amen.
Amen.
I'm thankful the Lord showed me what He showed me in the Scripture. And our last message was on Sarah. We called it the wife of faith, and we talked about Sarah's faith and the things that she did and the faith that she had and the reason she's recorded here in Hebrews chapter number 11 in Faith's Hall of Fame. And previously we spoke of her husband Abraham, the father of many nations, the one through whom the promised seed was given, and the covenants of God were made with Abraham for that land and for those people. And following him, we spoke, of course, of Sarah. And then following the Scripture regarding Sarah, there's a little bit more to say about this particular family and these particular promises before we get back into Abraham. And we're going to take another look at Abraham next Sunday night in verse number 17. But I'd like to focus tonight a little bit on this thought, the wisdom of faith. The wisdom of faith. See, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Amen.
I was speaking, I was talking to, y'all just going to have to go along with it. I'm going to be really transparent here tonight. I feel like I'm in good company. I feel a sweet spirit of liberty here. Last night I was talking to Brother Daniel today about last night. The Lord, I was working on my heart as I was reading this Scripture, and I was thinking about things I need in my own life and things I need to pray for and things of that nature. And these three things came to my mind, and I got up and I walked into the kitchen and I wrote them down on a scratch pad on a piece of paper so that I can read them and pray for them. And the three things I wrote were this: wisdom, charity, and humility. Wisdom, charity, and humility. If you have those three things,
amen,
you're going to be right with God.
Amen.
And you can't not be right with God and have those three things.
Right.
And I believe that wisdom is oftentimes something that we lack. As a matter of fact, I know that it's something that we lack. James said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally and abradeth not. Wisdom is something that we need.
Amen.
And you know, we live in a day and age in which wisdom is oftentimes misinterpreted or misconstrued. They believe that you have to have a doctorate degree from some old university or some college to be, in the eyes of the world, you're looked at as wise if you reject the Bible and if you accept all these progressive thoughts and all of these new ideas that really aren't that new if you read your Bible. Sin's not really that new of an idea. Yeah, I mean, it's been happening since the garden. People have been rebelling against God, and continuously what the devil will try and do to break down the very fabric of our religious society and of our faith is he's going to try to peddle these ideas in new ways. He'll put new labels on them.
Yeah.
He'll disguise them any way that he can. It's oftentimes been said, and I remember it said and taught me this way when I was studying up in my theology classes, that the devil and what he was originally, he was created, he was an angel, and an angel of light. The Bible calls him the anointed cherub that covereth, but because of pride, he was cast down. And we know that a third of the angels chose to rebel and chose to follow after him. But remember this tonight, Christian, take heed and take warning that what he was in perfection, he is now in deception. That is his main trick. That's the only thing that he's got up his sleeve. He's going to attack you with the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the pride of life. But no matter which one of those he would choose to attack you with, it's always going to come in the form of deception. The Bible says that he is the father of lies. And I would even venture to say that if you were to take a poll across this country or across this world, what they would say is taking place in here tonight, it would not be described as wisdom. They'd say, you still believe that book. You still believe in Jesus. You still believe in the resurrection. You still believe in creation. You still believe in the virgin birth. I believe that Brother Irvin hinted at it a little bit this morning. The Bible says that it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching. The Bible says that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto those that are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. I believe that true wisdom is found in Him and in Him alone and in His perfect Word. We cannot have that wisdom. We cannot have that discernment. We cannot live a life that pleases God unless we have what? Faith. And that's what we've been looking at here the past few Sunday nights in Hebrews chapter number 11. And I'd like to continue here in verse number 13. And it's mentioned all these. It's mentioned Abel, and it's mentioned Enoch, and it's mentioned Noah, and it's mentioned Abraham and Sarah. And it continues on in verse number 13, and it picks up as a narrative, and it says this, these all died in faith. These all died in faith. Listen to this. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them. Think about that. And embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, They might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country that is and heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we love You tonight. We are here because of You. And Lord, I'm so glad to be saved. I'm so glad to know that heaven's my home and that this earth is just, it's just a pilgrimage on this land, Father. But one day I'll get to be where You are and see You face to face and have that mind of Christ and that glorified body. And I so greatly desire that soon and coming day that that'll happen, Lord. But until then, Lord, I pray, God, would You grant us wisdom? God, would You increase our faith? God, would You help us, please, Lord, to live the lives that You've called for us to live, Lord, to be obedient to Your Spirit's call, Lord, and just to follow the inclination of His every sway, Lord, and just to listen when He would bid us, Father. And Lord, I pray that tonight that You would have free reign in our hearts and our minds, Lord, that the Word of God would go forth into the ears, and not only into the ears, but into the hearts of all those that would hear. And Lord, let it convict us. Lord, I pray a spirit of most holy conviction would fall upon us, God, and help us, Lord, to see the places and the things in our life that we need to change, Lord, that we could better please You. Lord, I thank You for the wonderful day that we've had. Thank You for the preaching this morning and how it helped me, Lord, and encouraged me. I pray now, Lord, tonight that You just get me out of the way, Father, Lord, and let Your Spirit have free reign. Help me to preach with power, with love, with a sound mind, and I'll give You all the glory for it. I ask it all in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
The wisdom of faith.
This is a very interesting passage of Scripture here. I mentioned a moment ago, I've loved studying this. The Lord has given me so much. The Lord just continues to show me things in this passage of Scripture. And there have been some very interesting things that I've found in my study. And by way of introduction, I want to say this, some interesting things. In verse number 13, the narrative almost sort of changes. And what to the natural man, to the natural affection, to the heart, it would almost take a dark turn, if you will. It's talking about all the victories. It's talking about all the successes. And sure, we've spoken of Sarah, and we've spoken of Abraham, we've spoken of Noah and their hardship and their rejections and all these things. But all those things ended in victory. All those things ended in the defeat of their adversary and of their foes. And then the narrative will change in the 13th verse and pick up and say, these all died in faith. God says these people had faith, they did all these wonderful things, they did what I commanded of them, but eventually they would die. You know what that statement tells us? That statement tells us this evening that if you're going to die in faith, that must mean that you can live in faith. Amen? In order to die in faith, you have to be living in faith. And I'm so glad that God is a God of mercy, and He's a God of grace, and He's a God of compassion, and He's a God who's long-suffering and patient with us when we do not deserve any of it. Amen? There's not one day that you or I have woken up out of bed and deserved any blessing or any mercy or any grace from God. But you know, there's not been one day that you've gotten out of bed that you haven't received the grace and the mercy and the blessings and the patience of God. He's been so very good to us, and He allows for us day by day to live this life by faith. It says, these all died in faith. And I'm glad that that also tells us not only that to die in faith, that means you can live in faith, but it also tells us that faith doesn't end in death. Amen? Hey, I'm glad the end of my story is not when I go 6 feet under. If the Lord tarries and God does not come home while I would call this my earthly home and call His church to be where He is and they lay me under the ground, listen to me, friend, I'm not going to be dead. I heard a man one time, they played a recording at his funeral, and the preacher said he wanted us to hear this, and he played the recording, and he said, if one day should come and I should pass away and you should lay me in an earthly grave, he said, don't believe that I'm dead, but I'm more alive now than I've ever been, and I'm with Jesus, and I know it to be true, and I'm so glad that God's given me the faith. I'm glad that God saved me. Friend, listen to me. So many people, they're so deceived. We talked about Satan. We talked about the deceiver. And you know, perhaps one of the greatest deceptions that he's peddling to the church today is that this is all you got. Amen. Is that this temporal life, however long it might be, you might not get another day, you might not get another hour on this earth, but he'll make you to believe that this is all you got. And then you ought to live for riches, and you ought to live for money, and you ought to live for power, and you ought to live for popularity, and you ought to live for the earthly linear relationships with other people. And God would say, no, won't you invest in heaven? Won't you fix your eyes on eternity? The devil would say that it's all over when you die.
Yeah, come on.
That's not the case, friend. The Bible says that they died in faith, but death to the believer is only of the body. And it can't even keep its hold on us.
Amen.
Hey, I still believe in a bodily resurrection of the dead that is to come. And that's Bible, friend. The trump of God shall sound as the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those loved ones you have that have died in Christ and died in faith will rise and meet the Lord in the air. And guess what? We're going to be trailing behind them.
Amen.
I still believe that. I'm so glad that a life in faith that results in a death in faith will only result in further life in faith. Amen?
Amen.
Our faith's going to become sight one day, and you better believe that. And I believe that if we accept that as truth and we hold that faith in our hearts, that it's going to give us the wisdom to govern our lives effectively that we might glorify God. There's a few things that I see right here in this passage of Scripture that the wisdom of faith is going to bring to us. First and foremost, I believe that it's going to bring the right patience. It's going to bring the right patience. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 11. These all died in faith, having not received the promises. Having not received the promises. One of those things the devil likes to do is he likes to attack the validity of the promises of God based on a timeline. What I mean by that is if you say, well, God promised this and it hasn't happened yet. Or this is supposed to happen, and this is supposed to happen, and it just hasn't happened yet. And I've been praying for this, and I've been asking in faith, and I've been fasting, and I've been praying, and these things haven't happened yet. The devil would love to get into your heart and say, that's because it's not true. That's because it's a lie. That's because it's fake. Listen to me, friend. The wisdom of faith is going to produce the right patience. These people that we read about in this passage of Scripture that we're reading about in the New Testament, mind you, did not receive the promises. During their earthly life, during their physical earthly life, they did not receive the promises that God made directly to them. Abraham never got to claim that land as his own. Abraham got to see Isaac come forth, and he got to see Jacob, but he didn't get to see any further than that. He didn't get to see his seed multiply while he was on earth, as numerous as the sands of the sea or as the stars of the sky. He didn't get to see all these promises come to fruition, but still yet, he didn't doubt God. Still yet, he kept on keeping on. He kept on pressing for the high mark and the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul would call it, and he never once got those promises fulfilled in that lifetime. You know what that takes? Patience. You know what our faith takes? Patience. You know what a lot of times we lack? Patience. Hey, I'm talking to myself here tonight. I realize that. There's times in our Christian life that we need that patience. What's the New Testament say? Patience worketh what? Godliness. What did I mention just a moment ago about God and His mercy and His grace? You know how patient God is with us?
Amen.
And a lot of the time, we can't show patience to the person who sits across the aisle from us in church.
Come on.
We're not going to show them mercy. We're not going to be patient with them. We're not going to give them time to let God work on their heart. It's because of what? A lack of faith. And that's as simple as it is right there, friend. It is a lack of faith on our part that produces that lack of patience. Having not received the promises. Listen to me, this is going to blow our mind. I'm not going to try to get all existential here or whatever, but God is not on a timeline.
Amen.
God is bigger than time.
Come on.
God doesn't sit back and look at all of reality and look at all of creation and look at all of history, and He doesn't sit there and watch it go by. He sits there and sees it as if it were a still picture. He sees the beginning when He sees the end. He sees what happened yesterday, the same time He's seeing what's going to happen tomorrow, the same time He would choose to grace us with our presence in this very moment.
Amen.
Think about that for a second. And so God is not on a timeline, so why oftentimes do we try to put God in such a hurry? Why oftentimes do we try to rush along the process of God? Everything happens for a reason. Everything happens in God's perfect and sovereign and holy good plan and His timing, and He has never made one mistake. God's never showed up late for anything.
Right.
Think about this. He's never showed up early and He's never showed up late. He's always been right on time. And so what you and I are told to do is to accept by faith that plan and that holy, sovereign providence of God in our lives and say, God, whenever. You know what Abraham said? As Abraham was dying, I don't think Abraham was bitter with God. He was called the friend of God. I don't think Abraham said, well, God, I didn't see all these promises you said. I guess it's not going to happen. Abraham knew better than that. Abraham said, I know that there's something more, amen? And a lot of times, listen to me now, we miss out on the blessings of God in our lives because we get impatient.
Amen.
Because we don't wait the way that we ought to wait. Faith's going to produce the right patience. Not only is it going to produce the right patience, it's going to produce the right perspective. These all died in faith, having not received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They didn't receive Him, but they saw Him afar off. Listen to me, friend. The vision of faith is 20/20. You never have to doubt what God said. If God has promised you something, if God has called you to something, if God has saved your soul, you better believe that God is going to keep His Word and His promises. Amen. Paul said He's not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness. Amen. He's so good to us. He's so merciful to us. He's so gracious to us. gives us the right perspective. Much of the world walks in unbelief today, not because they don't have access to the truth. You know what the Bible says? The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Not because there's a lack of preachers. Not because they don't have the Word of God, because we have that which is made perfect. We've got the inspired words of God right here in our hands tonight. It's because they refuse to see it. It's because they refuse to accept it. Five times in the New Testament, the Bible mentions how that the adversary has blinded the hearts and the minds of those who are lost. Brother Daniel was talking this morning about the folks he witnessed to in the city and the street corners there in Scotland, and they're so friendly, and they want to talk about the weather, and they want to talk about the bus stop, and they want to talk about this, and they want to talk about that, but you better not talk to them about that Bible. And the instant you begin to talk about God, the instant you mention the name of Jesus, it's almost as if a dark cloud were to overshadow them. You know what that is? That's the devil blinding them from the light. And let me listen to me, friend. Naturally, men love darkness rather than light. They don't want the truth. It's not that they don't have access to it. It's not that they can't find it. It's that they don't want it. And you better be careful tonight, friend, because that's not only the case for lost people, but that, you can allow for that to become the case in your life as well. You can get your perspective skewed. I was thinking about it a little bit ago. I was thinking about vision, and I was thinking about what God allows us to see by faith, and He is the great physician, isn't He? I believe every now and then we ought to go to the optometrist, amen? Get our vision checked. Get an appointment with God and say, God, get my vision right. The Hebrew writer said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know when our perspective gets messed up? When our faith gets messed up is when we get our eyes off Jesus. Whether it's putting our eyes on a preacher, or putting our eyes on a ministry, or putting our eyes on an organization, or putting our eyes on a family, or putting our eyes on this, or putting our eyes on that, we're taking our eyes off of Jesus. And what happens? Everything falls to shambles. The wisdom of faith is not going to allow you to do that. Faith says, no, you keep your eyes on Jesus. Faith says, no, you keep your eyes on God. You do what God's called you to do. You still stay serving God and stay faithful in prayer and stay faithful in your Bible study and keep that perspective. If you aren't careful and get your eyes off Jesus, you can find yourself blinded as well as a believer. You say, I don't know about that. Well, Peter said, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And what's he say after that? And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You can be saved by the grace of God, and that faith wanes in your heart, and you lose your perspective, and you're just as blind as the people out there who are lost and on their way to hell.
Amen, amen, amen.
Not only is faith going to give us the right patience and the right perspective, we got to be a spiritually minded people, okay? The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. The world says, no, you got to have this. You can't just jump into the ministry headlong. You got to have some sort of a backup plan, or you got to have some sort of security, or you got to have this, you got to have that. That's what the world says. And Jesus, when He sent out those disciples, my mind always goes back to Luke chapter number 10. You know what He told them? He said, carry neither scrip nor purse. I imagine they were there and He was discipling them. He said, follow after me. They said, yeah, we'll follow after you. He said, forsake everything and follow me. They said, yeah, we'll do that. He said, okay, we'll go into the cities and knock on the doors and tell them I'm on my way. They said, okay, yeah. And then He said, and don't take anything with you. Don't take any of your money. Don't take any of your food with you. And they said, okay. They said, all right. Their neck got a little stiff. Their heart got a little hard. Why? Because that requires faith. That's not something tangible. That's not something they can hold on to. It's also going to produce the right persuasion. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. And were persuaded of them. If we as a church, and if we as believers could get a grip on how much power God has and how much access we have to that power through faith, it'll change the world. It's that simple. You say, well, what can faith do? In James chapter number 5, you read what the Bible says about faith. It says, and the prayer of the faith shall save the sick. That's the passage regarding the anointing of the sick. And let me tell you something, friend. It has nothing to do with the oil. It has nothing to do with if your elder's name is this name, or if your elder went to this Bible college, or if your elder is this denomination. No, it says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And in the following verse after that, the Bible says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Amen.
Availeth much. You think about that for a second. Somebody calls you on your cell phone and they say, hey, I'm going to need help with something. And you tell them, okay, I'll do my best to get around to doing that as soon as I can. But if mama calls you on your cell phone and says, hey, I need you down at the house to take care of something, you're going to be there lickety-split, aren't you? Why is that? That avails much more to you. The more faith that we have, the more dependency we put on God and His Word, the more our prayers are going to avail. Those prayers can move mountains. And that's just the faith of a mustard seed, a grain of mustard seed. Our perspective is messed up sometimes, and I don't believe that many of us oftentimes are persuaded that these things are so. Don't ever, ever, ever underestimate faith. What's the Bible say? And being persuaded. Listen to me, friend. You can throw all your doubts at me that you want. You can throw all your speculations at me that you want. But you got to me too late. I've seen God do it. I've seen God heal people. I've seen God change people's lives who the world would turn their nose up and say, there's no hope for them. Man, listen to me, friend. I've heard people accuse, they say, God's already turned that person over to a reprobate mind and God saves them and changes their life. Listen to me. You cannot put my God in a box.
Amen.
If you can put the God that you have in your mind in a box, you've got the wrong perception. You've got the wrong idea of God. You are not persuaded by the God of the Bible. He's able to do anything. What did Brother Jacob say in his devotion? He said, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Right above that door, we walk outside. It's in Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 37. For with the Lord, nothing shall be impossible. I'm persuaded of that tonight.
Amen.
I'm persuaded of that tonight because of faith. Last but not least, I give you the right patience, the right perspective, the right persuasion, and the right passion. These are people that have not received the promise, remember? And what's the Bible say? And we persuaded them and embraced them. And embraced them. Just like Brother Daniel said this morning, it wasn't just Sunday religion to them. It wasn't just the Sabbath for them. It was 24/7, 365. They were anchored in, hook, line, and sinker, friend. They were sold on it. And you better believe that whatever it was that God required of them, they were going to do. You know what we're going to read about next Sunday night? We're going to read about a man who is going to take his only begotten son, the promised seed, up on Mount Moriah to sacrifice him before God because he had the faith that God was going to raise him back up. That's what faith will do for you.
Amen.
Faith will take you to places that you cannot take yourself. Logic and reason cannot take you to the places that faith will take you. And logic and reason, listen to me now, they're not going to give you that passion to serve God.
Amen.
Sunday-only religion is not going to give you the passion to serve God. It's not going to give you the passion to embrace the things you've learned. We sing the song, Standing on the Promises of God. But are we? Are we embracing them? Are we standing on them? Are we living by faith in Jesus alone? Trusting, confiding in His sweet love. From all harm safe in His sheltering arms, living by faith in Jesus alone. That's what we need, church, is faith. And I'm done tonight, but I want to show you one more thing because I thought it was so interesting here. The next three verses deal with what we've read here tonight in verse number 13. And they deal with three different aspects, I believe, of your faith. in your testimony of your faith. Firstly, it's that your testimony speaks for itself. Secondly, it's that your testimony speaks to others. And thirdly, it's that your testimony speaks to God. Just take a look at it. Verse number 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. If you're living by faith, people are going to know it. You ought to tell people, but you won't need to tell people. They're going to know it. Amen.
Amen.
He says, these that would say such things declare plainly that they're looking for a country. That's why it's so important that we have blameless, holy testimonies before the people that we encounter with outside of these walls. Not only will your testimony speak for itself, but your testimony is going to speak to others. Verse number 15, and I was really thinking about this today. Verse number 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. You know what he's saying? He's saying they died in faith, not having seen their promises, or not having received the promises, but they saw the promises afar off. And not only did they just entertain these thoughts, but they engaged themselves daily in the worship of God and the admiration of God, not having seen these promises fulfilled. Why is that? They were spiritually minded.
Amen.
They weren't focused on the world. They weren't focused on people. They were focused on God. And it says right there in verse number 15, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. I couldn't help but think about Abraham in this text and his sons. Because Abraham was called out of the land of the Chaldees, okay? Abraham was called away from that family. Abraham was called away from that land. Isaac and Jacob were the sons of promise born over in the Canaan land. They didn't know that life of the Chaldees. They didn't know what they knew of that is when they went to get those wives. They weren't raised or brought up that way the same way Abraham was. And listen to me now. What's the Bible say? If they had been mindful of that country from when they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Abraham didn't raise them that way, did he? If you got Christian parents tonight, if you got a mom or a dad or a grandpa or grandpa that loved you and prayed for you and took you to church, you ought to thank God. If you got a testimony that you never did backslide real bad or get out into a life of sin or come from a world of wickedness before you got saved, you ought to thank God. Because I tell you, for the other side of for the other folks, for the rest of us in here tonight, the devil would use the memories of that far country to try and entice you.
Come on.
Say, man, wasn't that fun? Don't you remember that? Weren't those times so fun? Didn't that feel so good? Wasn't it so fun having all that popularity and all that money and all those friends? Isaac and Jacob didn't know anything about that. Why is that? Abraham was a spiritually minded man. Abraham said, we're not going to talk about that. That's not what's important. What's important is God made us a promise.
Amen.
And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from when they came out, they might have opportunity to have returned, but they didn't, did they? They continued on in faith until death. Just like Paul. He said, I've fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, finished my course with joy. That's what I want to do tonight. More importantly than either of those, verse number 16, your testimony speaks to God. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Listen to this. Wherefore God, capital G, is not ashamed to be called their God. For He hath prepared them a city. I wonder tonight how pleased God is with me. Because it's impossible to please Him without faith. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
The more faith you have, the more you're going to do for God, the more you're going to please God. That's just the way it works. God said of these who died in faith, He wasn't ashamed to be called their God. I wonder tonight, Christian, is He ashamed of me? Is He ashamed of you? If you were to die tonight and stand before God, stand before God in that judgment, ultimately, will He say He was pleased with you? Will He say He was ashamed? We need wisdom, friends. We need faith from God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for just one moment. With every head bowed and every eye closed. I don't know about you, but I need every one of those things I preached about tonight. Bad. It's impossible to please Him without faith tonight, Christian. If you're in here tonight and you feel like your faith's been weakened, you feel like your faith's been tried, you feel like maybe you've got your eyes off of Jesus, maybe you've got your perspective messed up, maybe you're just not fully persuaded tonight, why don't you come to the altar and pray? Why don't you come to the altar and get a hold of God? Why don't you come to the altar and say, God, I need You to touch me. God, I need You to increase my faith, just like those disciples prayed, to say, God, I need You to move in my life. As folks come to the altar tonight, I invite you to come and pray.